Sorry, one more time. Chavakuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Beis Gimel. Yesterday we read through the first three psukim. We learned the Mitzudos David, and we learned a little bit of the Rashis. Let's again read the psukim very quickly. These are very powerful psukim. These psukim are describing to us the yearning for Moshiach. These are incredible, incredibly rich psukim with an enormous amount of principles of Yadus. Pasuk Aleph begins Al Mishmarti Ehemoida, Ve'esiatzva Al Motzar. Chavakuk describes himself here in his anticipation, in his yearning for Mashiach, as two different types of people, two different types of soldiers. Number one, a soldier who is standing guard. He is standing in a defensive position. That's Mishmarti Ehemoida. Number two, he is standing in an offensive position. The Esiyatzva, I stand strong, Al Motzar, as if I am laying siege to a city, which is a offensive position. Va'atzape, and I yearn, a third expression, Lirois, to see Mayidaber, be what Hashem will say to me. Umo Oshiv Al Toichachti, and I am yearning, I am trying to figure out, my mind is percolating, what I will say back to Hashem. If Hashem has a complaint against me, Hashem wants to deliver a mussar to me, I have to figure out a good response. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Ribbono Shel Olam appears and he says, Vayaneni, Hashem. Suddenly Hashem answers me, Vayoymer, and Hashem says, Kisoiv Chozoin, I want you, Chavakuk, to write down the vision that I am about to present to you. But I don't want you to write down the words verbatim. I want you uvo'er, I want you to elaborate. I want there to be a thorough treatment of the words I present to you. Al haluchos, this shall be etched upon tablets. Leman yorutz korevoy, the reason why I want you to elaborate is that a reader should be able to quickly run through the text, through the message, and they should be able to absorb and understand what is being said. They should not have to study and decrypt depth of a cryptic statement. Now, what is my statement? What are the words? The words are as follows. Ki oid chozoin lamoyed. There is a vision, there is an additional vision for the set time, meaning that what you witness now in Nebuchadnezzar, this that you're going to see by Nebuchadnezzar, his fall, is going to serve as a mashal, as a simon for another set time, namely the time of Mashiach. The Ofeach lakates, and you, Chavakuk, will speak. V'yofeach means to blow, but blowing is always expressed in terms of speech. How do we know this? The very beginning of the creation of man. V'yipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into the nostrils of man a living spirit, which the v'yihi adam lenefesh chaya, and man was alive, man came to life, which the Targum translates, v'yihi adam leruach mimalela. Man was a speaking creature. So we see that blowing, when the Ribbono Shel Olam blows his spirit into our nostrils, the result is speech. V'yofeach lakeitz, you will speak concerning the end of days, v'lo yichazeif, and this keitz is not going to lie. It's emes. It will happen. Make no mistake about it, Mashiach will come. Im yis mama, if it delays, yis mama, is a hard word to translate. We just loosely translated the word yismamo. Yes, say if there's a delay, his akvus. Nevertheless, chakei lo. Still, I command you to yearn for Mashiach. Kivo yovo lo yacher. It will certainly come, will not delay. We learned the Mitzvah David, we learned Rashi, we just spent some time about this idea that Chavakuk, he drew a circle, he put himself in the center of the circle, and he said to Hashem, I'm not coming out of the circle until you explain to me, give me an answer to the question of Perek Aleph, why do you allow the wicked to succeed and the tzaddikim to suffer? Now, we are continuing the Rashi. We're up to the words of ki oid chazoin lamoyet. Okay, let's start from the pasuk beis. Beis and gimel. Rashi pasuk beis and gimel. Vayaneni Hashem vayomer kisov zos lachoch kanigla lacha. Hashem says to Habakkuk, I want you to put in writing this revealed vision. Uvo'arehu al haluchos, and I want you to explain it, to elaborate. Heitei very well. Asher so that. Yorut sakori bo likroisoi maher shelo yikoshel. He should be able to quickly read the contents and not stumble. V'zehut hechozoin asher tichtoev. This is the vision which you should put in writing. Ki oid chozin lamoed, oid osid lokum navi liketz shonim, she yiskaleloi chozin lmosa yiyye moed mapeles bovel. Now this is an incredible chiddush of Rashi. Rashi says, he adds words into the pasuk that do not appear, and none of us would even imagine in a million years that we should add these words. Oid chozoin lamoed means there will be another Navi that will rise. Oid osid lokum, it will happen in the future that there will rise up a Navi, a new Navi, liketz shonim, in the end of days, she yiskaleloi, and this Navi is not Moshiach. This Navi, it will be the one that will reveal to you chozoin, a new vision, lemosai yihyeh, when it will be moed, the set time, mapeles bavel, the fall of bavel, ugeulas yisrael, and the redemption of Yisrael. Now, you know what it's like you ever have a dream that in your dream you were dreaming? Can you imagine you're sleeping, you're having a dream, and in your dream you see yourself going to sleep having a dream within a dream. You have a Navi. The Navi here is having a vision. And what is the vision? That there will come a day when there will be another Navi that will have a vision. And that vision will be to tell you when Mashiach will come. Why don't we just cut to the chase? And since we're in dreamland and we're having visions, let Hashem tell Habakkuk when that will happen. It's extremely bizarre. Habakkuk is having a vision that there will be a day where a new Navi will come forward, and he will have a vision revealing when Bavel will collapse and the Jewish people will be redeemed. The Ofeach Laketz, the Dibur Ye'omer, this prophet will speak concerning redemption, the end of days. V'dibur ye'omer, his speech will concern loy al haketz shel bavel lefi milois lebavel shivim shana. What Yirmiyah said that bavel, when bavel will conclude its tenure of 70 years, it will come to an end. V'lo yichazev, and this prophecy will not be a lie. In other words, what is Rashi doing different than the Mitzudos David? Whereas the Mitzudos David translated the word Kates as a reference to Moshiach, the coming of Moshiach in our day, Rashi learns the Kates is the Kates of Bavel, the end of the Golus Bavel and the building of the Bayis Sheni. Who is the Navi that will rise? Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is the one who said the words, Lefi Melois Lebavel Shev Mishana, Bavel only lasts 70 years. It will collapse, and then the building of the Bayis Sheni will commence. And as we know, this was the very big debate among all of the, among Nevuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, Balshetzar, and Daryovesh. When is the end, the 70 years come to an end? Is it 70 years from the Golos of Yehoyachin? Is it 70 years from the Golos of Tzidkiyahu? When exactly is the 70 years? Because Balshetzar celebrated what he believed was the end of 70 years from the Golos of Yehoyachin. Nothing had happened. And he felt that if nothing has happened, then this prophecy is a lie. The prophecy of Yirmiyah lefi melois lebavel shivim shana is a lie, because 70 years have passed from his starting point, which was mistaken, and the Geula, the Jewish people, are just as much in exile now as they ever were, and nothing has changed, it must then be that the prophecy of Yirmiyah was a lie. And therefore, he took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, he celebrated, and nothing is going to happen. Our dominance on the world is secure. He made a mistake, Belshazzar, when the day that he celebrated, what happened was the Modim, they entered and they destroyed his palace, and he was killed. Achashverosh also made a mistake. Okay, so without going, I don't remember the details, I didn't prepare the details, but in the Gemara Masech, the Megillah, there's a there's an entire daf, Gemara, that goes through all the various possible calculations of when the 70 years began and when the 70 years ended, and all of the rulers of the world who were dominating, who were trying to destroy the Jewish people, they made their own calculations and they were all mistaken. And when they believed the end of 70 years has arrived and nothing has changed, they made a celebration. They made a party. They made a party to celebrate, but they were foolish and their calculation was incorrect. And here, according to Rashi, is what Habakkuk is coming to emphasize. V'lo yichazev. Hindsight is 20/20. The leaders of the world, Belshazzar and Achashverosh, and who else? There's a third person, Belshazzar, Achashverosh, I don't remember. They made calculations, and in their understanding, it did not happen, what was supposed to be, and they viewed the words of Yirmiyah to be a kozov, a lie. And here Habakkuk, 100 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is approximately, let's say, 200 years before when the prophecy indeed would be fulfilled, of Melois Lebavel Shivim Shana, he makes a declaration, V'lo Yichazev. This prophecy, which has not even yet been said, will not be a lie. It will come true. Bavel will come to an end, and the Jewish people will be permitted to return to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Shekhinah down to this world once again. So here, it's according to the Parish of Rashi, we have some fascinating insight. We have here this person, Habakkuk, and he is standing 200 years, at least 100 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, and he's giving over a prophecy. His prophecy is that there will rise a person in approximately 100 years from now, and his name will be Yirmiyahu. He did not actually say who it would be. He did not give him a name, but there will be a prophet that will rise, and he will give forth words to the effect of Lefi Milois Lebavel Shevim Shana, that this nation, Bavel Nebuchadnezzar, that is rising, that is destroying the Beis HaMikdash, that is exiling the Jewish people, will come to an end after 70 years. And the lo yichazev, the words that this prophet will say in 100 years from now, what will be in another 70 years from now, will come true. They are not a lie. They are words of emes. He's directing the statement to Achashverosh, who took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and made a party for 180 days to celebrate the fact that Yirmiyahu's prophecy, Lefi Melois Lebavel Shivim Shana, is a kozov. The story of the Megillah, the opening words of the Megillah, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh Achashverosh HaMelech Mehud Yarkush, where it goes on to say he made a party. He made a party for 180 days. The party was to celebrate this pasuk. Of that the words of Yirmiyahu Lefi Melois Lebavel Shivim Shana is a kozov. Yirmiyahu is a liar. Habakkuk is a liar. Habakkuk says, we shall see. We shall see who is the liar. I stand my ground. V'lo yichazev. It is not a lie. Bavel, it's true, will rise, will have power, will bring Churban, but they will ultimately fall, and there will be the restoration of the Bayis Sheni. Next, now we go to the next words of Rashi. Im yis ma haketz lavo, if the ketz. Now again, we have to learn according to Rashi. Rashi learns we are focusing primarily on the end of Bavel, the 70 years that concludes Bavel. Im yismama haketz lavo shayarech lachem oisei moed, even though it delays, because there are many ways to calculate the 70 years. And every time we reach a certain point, we think, okay, we've now reached that point. Look at what's going on today. Did you ever imagine that we would still be in quarantine at this point in time when this whole thing broke? We never even believed it would happen to begin with. And then when it settled upon us that this is serious, this is the real deal, people are dying, okay, quarantine, but for sure by Pesach it'll be over. Then, okay, we have to go through Pesach, but only for the first days, Shabbos, Chol Hamoed, the last days. Now it's already after Pesach. There's no end in sight. I mean, they're trying to give us a little hope. Then first day it said maybe April 15th. Forget about it. April 15th came and went. Okay, April 30th. Forget about it. May 15th. Who knows? Even though the break point, the end point, appears to be logically within our reach, within our grasp, and it escapes us, chakei loy, still yearn for the kates, for the end. The end. Kivo yavoy, it will come. Things will be restored. Lo yacher, and when that moment comes, it will not be delayed. The set moment in time will come, it will not be delayed. And here, again, referring to the time, the prophecy of 70 years. How do you calculate the 70 years? There are many different ways to calculate the 70 years. In hindsight, it's 2020. Hindsight, it's Pasha, that the moment when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was the beginning of the 70 years. Really? Why should that be the beginning of the 70 years? It would make a lot more sense to calculate the beginning of the 70 years 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What happened 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. Nebuchadnezzar conquered the world. He was acknowledged as being the ruler of the world. He had shlita over Eretz Yisrael. So isn't that what the pasuk means? Lefi milois lebavel shivim shana. The pasuk doesn't mention the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk mentions the fullness of Bavel. Bavel as a world superpower began 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And if you want, for whatever reason, to say that's not the exact moment in time, so let's then focus 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when the Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin with the Chorash and the Masker, and the situation dramatically changed in Eretz Yisrael. And then if that's not going to be the moment, well, maybe you can even say 3 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when the siege began. That's not, so then we'll say it's going to be the Churban itself. Who says it's even the Churban? Maybe it's the aftermath of the Churban. Maybe it's a year later. These are mysterious things to know, to figure out the exact, in hindsight, when we can see the Klal Yisrael returns, when Koresh issues a decree that the Jewish people are permitted to return to Eretz Yisrael, you can come out of Golis. And here, I'm giving you startup money to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to return to you a significant collection of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now in hindsight, we take that date and we go backwards 70 years. Happens to be that it's exactly to the day 70 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So now in hindsight, we understand what it means in the pasuk lefi melois lebavel shivim shana. That when Bavel reaches its maturity of 70 years, then they will come to an end. Koresh will dominate, Koresh will destroy, the king of Paras will destroy the nation of Bavel and will give permission for Klal Yisrael to return to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But why is that so? Why is Bavel's Shlemus beginning with the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we have to sweat. We have to figure out to understand that it wasn't 18 years before. It wasn't 11 years before. It wasn't when the siege. You can look in history at many select moments and say, this is the moment when everything changed. But at the time, you don't really know that. It's only in hindsight can you look back and you really fully appreciate what moment affected change, was the game changer going forward. Look, today, when they write about, they study the presidents of the United States. There are many presidents that at the time were viewed as failures, horrible, miserable failures. But in hindsight, we look at the policies that they enacted, we look at the seeds that they planted, and it may have taken 50 years, 70 years, 100 years until it developed, and in hindsight we're able to say, you know, they really weren't that bad. And there were some presidents that at the time were celebrated as being glorious, wonderful people, and when all of the classified documents are revealed and we study history, guess what? They weren't such tzaddikim. Maybe we would have been better off had we had a different president at that point in time. It's the same exact thing when it comes to the Nevuah. One of the most elusive prophecies in Tanakh is the prophecy of Yirmiyah, the words, Lefi Milois LeBavel Shivim Shana Efkoid Eschem. When Bavel reaches a fullness of 70 years, I will remember you. No one knew what these words meant. What does it mean, milois, the fullness? Where does the fullness begin? Where does it end? Baal Shetzar, he thought he knew. Achashverosh, he thought he knew. Maybe we thought we knew. But in hindsight, it was revealed that it took place at the moment, the milois of Bavel began at the moment of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And to us, it may seem simple, of course. It's not so simple. There, at the time, if we were living through history, we would not necessarily look at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as the pivotal event. There were other events that had a much greater effect upon the lives of Klal Yisrael had we been living through the moment. In hindsight, we look back and we can't even imagine it any other way, because what do we know? We know nothing. We're living in a world of make believe. We're just reading what it says in the books. But in hindsight, it's clear that it was the Churban Beis HaMikdash which began the Malois. And here we have an incredible insight of Habakkuk, who wrote this 200 years before. He says, "I'm telling you, the day is going to come. There will be born into this world a human being, and he will rise to the level of a prophet." And he will give forth words to the effect of that the tsarois, your troubles, will come to an end. Lefi Malois, which we know in hindsight to mean Lefi Malois Lebavel Shivim Shana. And I'm telling you, those words that he is going to say are emes, v'lo yichazev. And the chutzpah of Achashverosh, and the chutzpah of Baal Shetzar, to say it's a lie, to the degree where they made for themselves and for the world a major celebration to celebrate the lie. It's not a lie. Habakkuk says this is no lie. Im yismamo haketz, love it back to the Rashi, sheyarich lechem oid moyed, chake lo yearn ki lo ya'acher, acher hashiv mklum. It's not going to delay after the 70 years at all. There will be absolutely no delay After the 70 years, v'od yesh l'farish im yismama hanavi lavoi v'hu haya yirmiyah. Okay, then he goes on to say an incredible chiddush. Another translation, im yismama does not refer to the moment. It refers to the person. Who is the person? Yirmiyah, the person. And if you want to follow patterns in history, when we say in the Ani Mamin, b'emuna shlema, b'vias ha-moshiach, the afal pisha yisma mea im kol ze achak eloi. What does it mean? Afal pisha yisma mea. Bevias ha-moshiach. Is Mashiach a person or is Mashiach a time? It's both, right? Mashiach is a person. There is the Melech HaMashiach. That's one dimension of Mashiach. But Mashiach is clearly defined in Chazal as a tekufa, an era. We're living now in the ikvisa de Mashiach, the yemois HaMashiach. Mashiach is not just a person, it's an era. So when we say in the Nusach, the Rambam, who has basically plagiarized this pasuk, take and extract the words of this pasuk, and he says, Afal pi sheyisma mea, im kol ze achak eloi, b'chol yom sheyavoi, how could we not go to the words of Rashi, the holy words of the Frenchman, as the Rambam referred to Rashi as the Frenchman. The Rambam said that he wanted to write a parish on Chumash, a parish HaRambam on Chumash, but he said it's not necessary because the Frenchman already did it. Who was the Frenchman? Rashi. Did the Rambam ever see Rashi? Impossible, because the Rambam was born after Rashi already passed away. So there's no way in the world that the Rambam could ever have seen Rashi, did the Rambam in fact ever see his parish? Did he actually see the parish of Rashi on the Talmud, on Chumash? Doesn't say anywhere he did. Does the Rambam ever quote Rashi? There's a legend that he said he's not going to write a parish on Chumash because the Frenchman already did. He heard there is a parish. Does it mean that he actually saw the parish? Did it spread to where he was living? In Egypt? I don't know. These are a lot of these things are legends, and there's very little solid evidence to any of these type of things. A lot of this type of stuff going back 1,000 years ago, most of the stuff is a legend. You can't actually find a solid source to prove exactly what happened. But in any event, now that we have the parish of Rashi, so now when the Rambam used the exact same words, af al pi sheyisma mea, according to Rashi, it could mean one of two things. Even though the Melech HaMashiach has not yet arrived, or it means the Zman, the era of Mashiach, has delayed, you still chakeloi. Hey, Balar, Mechol, are you here, Mechol? Mechol, are you back? I want to make sure you're back.
Yeah, I finally figured out what happened.
Okay, what happened? Tell us. We all should learn from your experience.
Well, apparently, Chrome was still up, and even though I was not on the Morning Call page in Chrome, it still somehow interfered.
Okay, good. So you have to close the web page. Excellent. Okay, let's go further.
By the way, supposedly the Rambam did write a parish on the Chumash.
He did? So where is it?
Told it's in the Vatican.
In the Vatican?
And, well, some rabbis went in and memorized the page at a time, and they copied out some of it. That we don't have it, but he wrote one.
So what happened when they memorized? So they put it in writing,
well,
but they memorized?
Some pages, they didn't let him, but he wrote some of the pages. He memorized it and walked out with it in his mind. But supposedly there is a parish on the Chumash from the Rambam.
Anyone have Pope's telephone number on speed dial? Mayor, you have it on speed dial?
Definitely.
May, call him up. Call him up and tell him to send it.
Who do you think the Pope is? Come to my house, I'll let you into his room.
Next, Chakeloi, next. V'yoynes Amtir game. Further, V'yoynes Amtir game, Kesiva Nivu Asa. Ome farsha al sifra d'araisa. Yonis has a different interpretation. He says, Kesiva nivuasa, a writing of prophecy, ome farsha al sifra d'araisa, in reference to the Torah, tirgem kesov kemoi kosov, kivar nirmaz ba'Torah, oz tirtza oretz eshav soysecha. Yonis, the Targum says, it's not new. He's telling us, this message already has been written. In other words, if we go back to Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Beis says, Hashem answered me, Vayomar, Kisoiv Chazoin. We have been learning until now, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the word is an instruction. Hashem is instructing Chavakuk, sit down, take out a piece of paper, a pen, and write down on the paper the following vision. Targum says, no, I'm not giving you instructions to write anything new. It already has been written. Chavakuk, you're sitting and you're anticipating, when will the Kates come? When will it happen? I already told you when it's going to come. I already gave Moshe Rabbeinu, Kisov, one more time, the words of Yonis and Tegim, Kisiva Nivu Asa. There already has been given over in the past a text of prophecy. Umifarsha al Sifra Deraisa, the Torah already has expressed when it will happen. Tergim Kisoiv Kimoi Kosuf. He translates the word Kisoiv not as the typical translation, which is a command, a tzivui, right, but rather kosuv. It already has been written. Kivor nirmas batoira. What does it say in the toichecha? Oz tirtzeha oretz eshabes soiseha. When the korban comes, the land will rest for the violation of the shabosos, of the shemitos that were not observed. Shivim shemitos kilkulu Yisrael v'loy shamtu. Okay, this is a chazal. Rashi quotes this every so often. In the Teuchecha, Rashi says this. Rashi is repeating it here, that throughout Jewish history, there's a very complicated calculation to come out with this calculation, throughout the period of time, from the time that the Jewish people, they came into Eretz Yisrael, until the Churban Bayis, there were 70 Shemitos that were not observed. Every 7 years is a Shemitah, and you are required to relinquish your loans and let the land lie fallow for the poor people. 70 Shemitos, Kilkula Yisrael V'loy Shamtu, they did not release their grasp on the land. They did not allow the poor people to come take the food. They did not cancel their loans. Uchenegdan Golu Mimena Shivim Shana. And corresponding to the 70 Shemitos that were not observed, we went into exile for exactly 70 years. And during those 70 years, the land was fallow. The land was released. Anyone could walk there. Until the land has peace. Rotzon in this context means has rotzon. Rotzon means rest. It means will. The will here is that it finds Menucha, Eshabes Oisecha, Kol Yimei Hoshama, all the days of the desolation, Shavisa, the earth was at peace, was resting, Lemalois, to fill up Shiv Mshana, which he interprets here to mean the 70 years that the land did not rest during the time when the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein, Im Toima Harei Ata Moitzi B'Yecheskel. It says in Yecheskel, "Vani nasati luches eshnei shnei avaynam." Another pasuk, I will punish you with the years of your sins. What are the years of your sins? Shaloish. This is a pasuk. Shaloish meois v'tishim yoim. This he told Yecheskel that he should lie down for 390 days. Yoim Lashana Nisativ Loch. I've given you this is just an example. This is an example in the beginning of Yecheskel. Hashem told him to lie down for 390 years, and he told him to divide those days into the days of sin of the Aseres Hashvatim, plus the days of sin corresponding to the number of days that the two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, sinned against Hashem. Yoim Lashana Nisativ Loch, lie down on the floor in a funny way. People are going to go in public. People are going to say, Yecheskel, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you lying here? Why are you not eating? And you're going to say to them, I'm lying here for 390 days, corresponding to the number of years that the Jewish people have sinned to Hashem. And if you do not do teshuva, there's going to be a korban. The Omer, the Ata, you, Yeshechav Lecha al Tzidcha Hasmoli. He divided those days into lying on the left side versus lying on the right side. Nimtseisa Ata Omer, Hechisu Yisrael Shalosh Meos Tishim Shana. The Jewish people angered Hashem for 390 years. Ad Shagolu Aser Sashvatim, until the Aser Sashvatim went into exile. The Shevet Yehuda Kilkulu Arboim, 40 years. Mishagolu Aser Sashvatim Ad Chorvos Yishlaim, from the time that they went to Golos until the Churban of Yerushalayim. Haim is Eshim Ushtaim Shal Menashe. How do you get 40 years? We have 22 years of Menashe. Ushaor Shnoisa Beshuva. The remainder of his years he did Teshuva. Shari Nem Arboi Vayas Hora Kichol Asher Osa Achov. Minyan, he did evil. Kichol Asher Osa Achav, like Achav, his predecessor, way back, did Averos. Kiminyan Shenoisav Shel Achav. How many years was Achav a king? For whom Molach Eshem Ushtaim Shana, 22 years. Ushtaim Shel Omon Benoil. After Menashe died, his son took over for 2 years. The Achas Esrei Shel Yehoyakim. And then there were 11 years of Yehoyakim, which until Shlul Yehoyakim, V'achas Esrei Litzidkiyahu, another 22 years, Harei Arbohim V'shisha, 46 years. So let's make the calculation so far. We have to get to 40 years. Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to lie down on your right, on your left side for 390 years. And then I want you to lie down on your right side for 40 years. The 390 years you lie down on your left side is going to correspond to the 390 years that the Aseres Hashvatim angered Hashem. And then I want you to lie down on your right side for 40 years, corresponding to the 40 years that that Yehuda and Binyamin angered Hashem. Now, he's making the calculation here, the 40 years of Yehuda and Binyamin. How do we get those years? So we have Menashe. Menashe, he angered Hashem for 22 years. Menashe was the king for how many years? 55 years. 55 years he angered Hashem, he was a king, but he only angered Hashem for the first 22 years. The remaining years he did teshuvah. He was taken as a slave by Nebuchadnezzar. Not Nebuchadnezzar, I don't remember. Ashur, was it Melech Ashur? He was taken as a slave. They conquered Yerushalayim. He was taken and they tortured him. And when he was being tortured, he did teshuva. Hashem accepted his teshuva, and the king allowed him to return back to Yerushalayim, and he did teshuva. However, the damage was done. The evil that he introduced into Klal Yisrael during those first 22 years was irreversible. So even though he did teshuva for the remaining years until 55 years in his malchus, it does not matter. We still count those 22 years because those 22 years that was so harmful to the Jewish people, the effects could never be reversed. After he died, his son Omoin was only a king for 2 years, and he was even worse than his father was during his first 22 years. So that's going to be 24 years. 22 plus another 2 is 24. And then we calculate another 22 years. Yehoyakim, after Amon died, Yehoyakim was king. There was another king there for a very short time, for 3 months. But then Yehoyakim was king for 11 years. And then Tzidkiyahu was the king for another 11 years. Well, the years of Yoshiyahu, we do not count those years because Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik. So only, even though from the time after the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled and Menashe became Melech, there were many, many more than 40 years until the Churban Beis Hamikdash. But we're not including in the calculation the years of Yoshiyahu, he was a tzaddik, and we're not including the end of the Malchus of Menashe, because during that time he did Teshuvah. But we take all of the other years, we would come to a total of 46 years. Now, we have to get down to 40 years. So he explains, and this Nevuah was said to Yechezkel in the fifth year of Tzidkiyahu, And that's how we reduced the last 6 years. So we send the fifth year, which means there are 6 years to go. And that there, if, when we look at it from the very end until the time of the Churban, there are 46 years. But this Nevuah was being said 6 years before the end. I say five, it means he's in the sixth year. Chamishas, which means there are 6 years to go. He was the king for 11 years. So in his fifth year, there are six more years to go. So that's why, until this point in time, it's exactly 40 years. Mikol Mokam Nimsu Yimekil Kulam Arba Meos Ushloshim Vesheish Shanim. So now, when we take the 390 years, and we add 46 years, we have a grand total of 400 Ushloshim Vesheish Shanim. Now he's making the calculation. Let's review. Okay, this case is a little bit confusing. Let's review what we have over here. We have a statement. Hashem says to Yechezkel, in Perek Dalet, Yechezkel, I want you to be a dogma for the Jewish people. I want you to go out into the street, and I want you to lie down on the ground, on your left side, in a state of bezionis, publicly, not to be properly dressed, and not to eat, for a total of 430 days. Of these 430 days, 390 of them you shall lie on your left side. For the remaining 40, you should lie on your right side. You're going to do this in the street. Everyone will see this. Everyone will stumble upon you. They will ask, what in the world are you doing? And you will respond, you are a prophet. And this is a dogma. It's a form of prophecy from Hashem to remind the Jewish people that they have sinned to Hashem for 430 years. 390 is the sins of the Aseres Hashvatim leading up to their exile. And the Beis Hamikdash, so you have to make the calculation going all the way back. I don't know the exact, you have to go back on the map and on the timeline exactly when that starts. That began before the building of the Beis Hamikdash, because before the Mikdash was only in existence for 410 years. And if we're going to go backwards, 390 years from the time of the Golos of the Aseres Hashvatim, that takes us much before the building of the Bayis Rishon of Shlomo HaMelech. Because indeed, the Jewish people were doing Averos, they're worshipping idols in Eretz Yisrael, even before they built the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem never forgave them for those sins. So Hashem makes a statement that when you make a calculation from the moment of the Aseres Hashvatim, from their exile, if you go back 390 years, that is the time when Avodah Zarah started amongst the Jewish people. They came to an end with the Golus of the Aseres Hashvatim. Now, how many years left are there until the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? Many. There are many, many, many more years. Maybe, I don't know the exact number, maybe it's even over 100 years until the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But we're not going to calculate all of those years into years of sin, because the years of Yoshiyahu were not years of sin. He was a tzaddik. Vayikoinin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. He was king for how many years? He was king, I think, for... I don't remember how many years he was king for. 16 years? Maybe he was king for 16 years. Maybe more. Maybe make a mistake. But Yoshiyahu, he was a king during his entire life. Those years do not count. And even Menashe, not all of those years count. Because Menashe only did Averos for 22 years. He was the king for 55 years. So the remaining years he did not do Averos. And when this Nevuah is being said, there are still 6 years to go. So we combine all of the years of evil of the Malchus, the remaining Malchus of Yehuda, not including the last 6 years, it's 40 years. And that gives us the total of 430 years that Yechezkel is going to lie down on the ground. But we do know also that they continue to sin for another 6 years until the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, which brings us to the total of 436 years. Now that we know this magic number, we're going to divide it, and we're going to discover that there are 70 Shemitos in 436 years. And Rashi makes the calculation for us. Arba me'oshanim oisim shmoni yovos. So we take 400 years, we have 8, that's 50 multiplied by 8. So that means the chol yovel sheva shmitas. Every 50 years, 7 times 7, 49 plus shmita, there are 7 shmitas. So no, we're not including at this moment yovel. We're just going to take the shmitas. We have 50 years, there are 8 sets of 50 in 400 years, and of each set of 50 we have 7. So the harei chamishim v'sheish, we have now 56. 7 times 8 is 56 shmitas. Ushmoine shanim hamikudashos layovel, and we're also going to add to the mix another 8 because of yovel. So each 50-year cycle is not 7 Shemitos, it's really 8. So 8 times 8 is going to be 64. Okay, so again, we're first going to work with the number 400. This is the typical mathematics of Rashi. You can do a whole PhD thesis on this, on Rashi's mathematics. Rashi always does this throughout Shas. He takes numbers, he rounds off a number, he takes the major chunk of the number, he does the math, and then he separately works with the fractions. So we have over here a grand total of 436 years. We first take the number 400. In the number 400, we have 8 sets of 50. In each period of 50 years, we have 8 years that have the status of Shemitah. Every 7th year is Shemitah. That takes us 7 times 7 to 49. And year 50 is Yovel. And Yovel has the same sanctity as Shemitah. So that's 8 years that have the status of Shemitah in a 50-year period. There are 8 of those. 8 multiplied by 8 equals 64. So how many are we left with? 6. We need to find 6 more years. Harei shishim v'arba uv'shloshim v'sheish shana. Now we have how many years left? We have 36 years because it was a grand total of 436. What do we do with the 36 years? Yesh chomesh shmitos. Okay, we have five shmitos. So harei shishim v'seisha shanim mikudashes. So in 36 years we have exactly 5. We have five shmitos. And that we add the number 5 to 64, that takes us to 69. But where do we get the magic number 70?
Harei shishim. Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
Where did 36 come from?
436 years did the Jewish people sin against Hashem. 390. Going back, Hashem says to Yechezkel, lie down on your left side for 390 years, and lie down on your right side for 390 days, and lie down on your right side for 40 days, for a grand total of 430. 430, corresponding to the 430 years the Jewish people rebelled. The Malchus of Aseret Hashem rebelled for 390 years. Done. Now, what about the next 40? The next 40 is really a subset of 46, because this nevuah was said in the 5th year of Tzidkiyahu.
You mean 36 or 46?
40. 40 of 46. 40.
I'm still trying to find out where 36 comes from.
Because one step at a time. So first, there are 40, you understand the 46, that you have? You got the 46? So what's the grand total? The grand total is 436 years of rebellion. 390 of the Aseres HaShvatim and 46 of Yehuda and Binyamin, for a grand total of 436.
Okay.
Now, what does Rashi do in his mathematics? Yeah, if the grand total is 436, let's take 400 and figure out how many Shemitahs there are in 400. And the answer is 64. Because in 400 years, there are 8 sections of 50. And each 50 has 8 years that have the sanctity of Shemitah. 8 times 8 is 64. So 400 years have already been accounted for. How many years are there left to account for? 36. How many Shemitahs are there in 36? 7. 7 times 5 is 30, is 35. So we have from the 36 is 5 more Shemitahs with a remainder of 1. Are we good, Michal? Michal?
Yeah.
Is the calculation pleasing in your eyes?
I guess so. I mean, the 64, I understand. And the 5.
The 36? The 36, you understand?
I had trouble seeing the 36.
Okay, again, it's very, very simple.
No,
you don't understand, then other people don't understand. Let's clarify. How many years in total did the Jewish people rebel against Hashem? I'm making it very complicated. It's super simple. How many years did Klal Yisrael rebel against Hashem?
Okay.
What's the 436. Okay, that's the magic number. 46. The reason why Hashem says to Yechezkel, lie down for 40 days, is because 6 of those years have not yet happened. Hashem says to Yechezkel, lie down 40 more days, corresponding to the 40 years that Yehuda and Binyamin rebelled against Hashem. But Yehuda and Binyamin will rebel against Hashem for another 6 years. It ain't over yet. Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to lie down on your right side for 40 days, corresponding to the 40 years that the Malchus of Yehuda and Binyamin rebelled against me. That means until now.
Okay, so I see 46.
Okay, now take 46 and add that to 390. And what do you get?
436.
Now take the number from the 436, divide it into 2 parts, into 436.
Okay.
400 results in 64, and 36. And 36 results in 5 with a remainder of 1.
7.
7 multiplied by 5 is 30. Right, so we have 35. We have 35. We have here another five yovlos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi finishes up. How the okay, we have yeah. Speak up. Say.
Okay, so we have 64.
Harei shish. Where do we get 70? Ushnas Yovel Zeh Acharon Nechshva Afi B'Minyan. Why? Shebavoinam loy nigmar, because their sins are not complete. Okay, so this is an incredible chiddush. that is saying that Hashem threw one in as a bonus. Even though we're missing, we have not yet sinned. We're missing 6 years. There are 6 years that we did not sin. Hashem, because we did not do teshuvah, Hashem rounded off the number. There are a total of 69 Shemitahs that were not observed. V'kan, koch ha'omolech l'shbaruch hu l'chavakuk, kvar kosov chazen b'Torah. It already says this vision in the Torah. Avol sosum hu, but it's sosum. It's not clarified. It's hidden. Chosef ato ubor al haluchos lemar, ki oid yigale chazen l'moid. It will be revealed. V'yofeach l'shon dibur hu speak v'harbe yesh v'sef v'mishle v'al shem ha'shad dibur hu e'ne ele ruach yoitzim min ha'peh. Koreo piach, because speech is just wind. The koreo ruach goyim ufruach piv kol tzvam. Okay, so that concludes this Rashi. So what he's saying, according to the Targum, is going back to the words vayoymer kisoiv chozoin uvoer al haluchos. According to the Targum, this does not mean, like Rashi and the Mitzudos, that he's giving instructions to write this down. I'm not giving you any instructions. I'm telling you that this punishment that will come is already written in the Bible. It's already written. Where is it said? In the Teichacha, V'oz hirtzos es shabsoisecha. When the Jewish people go into exile, the land will get its menucha, will get its rest, corresponding to the number of Shemitahs that were not observed during the time that they occupied the land. And he's gone to the calc, and he says to Habakkuk, this that's kisov chozoin, this vision that already has been written, I kindly ask you, uvoer al haluchos, elaborate, reveal the secret to the people, let them know about it. I want you to explain, to reveal what exactly is already hidden in the words of the Torah. Okay, it's very straightforward. So Lamaskana, what do we take out of here? Lamaskana, we have over here two mahalchim as to the basic perish hamilois of this pasuk. Chavakuk is witnessing Chorben. He's witnessing the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. He's standing firm. And Hashem says to him, either one of two things. Either the pshat is, I'm going to present you a vision, and I want you to take the vision that I'm presenting you, I want you to write it down. What, really, Maskon, there are three mahalchim. There's the Mitzudos so far, Rashi, and the Targum. According to the Mitzudos, I'm presenting you with a vision. The vision is a vision relating to the coming of Mashiach. Not just Nebuchadnezzar. It's a vision. In this vision, you will be able to draw from it the Ketz Hayomin, the end of days. And I want you to elaborate. I want you to write this down and elaborate so people should be able to fully understand. And if Mashiach does not come right away, don't give up. Achak Eloi, b'chol yom sheyovai. Rashi says just about the same thing. But instead of telling us that the vision is a vision in reference to the coming of Mashiach, he learns that it's a vision in reference to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu will rise. He will predict that Bavel will come to an end. He will give over the words of Lifi Melois LaBavel Shiv Mshana Efkoit Eschem. It's not a lie. I want you to write this down, and I want you to clarify. People should know it's going to happen, and they should believe it. According to the Targum, we are not discussing a prophecy that will happen in the future. Hashem is telling Chavakuk, Churban is coming. Nebuchadnezzar is going to exile the Jewish people, and they will be in exile for 70 years. And this is nothing new. This already has been predicted in the words of the Torah, in the Teichacha, in Parashas Bichukosai, where I said that when you go into exile, you're going to let the land rest. the years that it was denied rest when you were present in violation of the laws of Shemitah. And then Rashi, as he does in Parashas Bichul Kosai, and as Rashi does in Sefer Yecheskel, reviews the calculation. How many Shemitahs were not observed in the land? And the answer is 69. And Hashem rounded up the number as we round up the number all over Chumash. How many Makos does the person receive? 39. Yet, what does the Torah say? What does the Torah say? He gets 40 lashes. Okay, what are other examples? There are many, I don't even offer, it slips my mind. There are many examples where the Torah, Sphira, you count 50 days, 49. Shivim Nefesh, Yodu Mitzrayim, they're really 69. We rounded up to 70. There are many examples in the Chumash and Chazal where the Torah rounds up a number. Here there were 69 years that had sanctity of Shemitah and Yovel that were not observed. And the calculation, I unfortunately have a tendency to make things that are very simple, complex. That's the difference between a professional and an amateur. A professional has the ability to take something complex and make it very simple. An amateur takes something
Rambam,
that...
By the way, the Rambam makes a point of saying, I believe it's the Rambam who says that this in a Yovel, there's actually 49 years, year number 50 is
it's
the beginning of the next
right,
cycle.
It's Machlokes, right.
Yeah, you're right.
Machlokes, there are three opinions. So Rashi here very clearly, to make this calculation, has to say that we're going like that Yovel has its own, it's a separate year. 7 times 7, 49 years. Then there's another year, year 50, a Yovel. And then we start again with year 1. Now without a principle, we have a grand total of 436 years that the Jewish people did not observe the law of the land of Shemitah. How do we get 436? We have 390. 390 years that from the beginning of time, from the Aseres HaShvatim, and 46 after the Aseres HaShvatim. Where do we learn this? From Yecheskel. Because Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to lie down in the street for 430 days. 430 days corresponding to the 430 days that the Jewish people in the past have rebelled against me. But they will continue to rebel against me in the future for another 6 years. I'm not telling you to lie down on the ground an additional 6 days for something that did not yet happen. But we know in hindsight that it did happen. The Nevuah of Yecheskel took place 6 years before the Chorban. So when he was lying down on the ground for 430 days, that was corresponding to the 430 days of the past. But there were to be another 6 years that would continue to rebel. So Sach HaKol, there was 436 years of rebellion. From those 436, we want to divide into two parts. We want to divide it into 436. The reason why we want to do that is because we want to add the years of Yovel. In 400 years, there are 8 cycles of Yovel. 7 times 7, 49 plus year 50, which is Yovel. In a 50-year cycle of Yovel, 8 of those years have the status of Shemitah, the 7th year and year 50. So there are 8 years that have the sanctity of Shemitah in a Yovel cycle. There are 8 Yovel cycles in 400 years for a grand total of 64 years that have the sanctity of Shemitah that was not observed. And then we have the remainder, the 36-year remainder, which we've separated. And in 36, we have 35. We have another 5 cycles. 5 more years that were not observed. We add 5 to 64 for a total of 69. And Hashem says, I'm going to exile you for 70 years. Why 70 years? Rashi says here an awesome chiddush. Because other Rishonim, they learn, they figure out the 70th year. Rashi says, since you did not do teshuvah, that itself counts as another year. Another year. Your attitude, the attitude of going into golos, of rebellion, of not doing teshuvah, that upgrades you to another year of golos. Isn't that incredible chiddush? Which would mean that if Klal Yisrael, if they would have gone into golos in a state of doing teshuvah, Hashem could only exile us for 69 years. But because when we went into exile, we remained in the state of rebellion, that frame of mind was worthy of an additional year of exile. It's amazing. Timing is everything. Yeah?
Okay, so we know the number 70 now, all right? But we don't know, or do we know, the starting point? Because as we said at the beginning,
exactly,
Belshazzar and Achashverosh,
exactly,
heard,
exactly,
as to when the starting point is. Did Klal Yisrael know when the starting point was?
No, they didn't.
Maybe not.
They did not. All of this was known to us in hindsight, as the events were unfolding in real time. We were clueless, totally clueless. All of this was only clarified for us in hindsight. That's the mussar of life. In life, you never understand anything as it unfolds in front of you. It's a pasuk. V'ro'isa es achoyrai. You'll be able to look back and see me from behind. Uponai, the front, lo yeru. You cannot possibly understand what's happening as things happen in real time. So you're right. As this all of us happening, we had no way. But this idea, this last little point over here is a very critical point. You know, in life, timing is everything. A year, if we would have been able to return 1 year earlier, who says the whole story of Purim would have ever happened? Who says? Who says? Who says a year, even a day, a month? Many people in your own life, we all realize that we miss deadlines by days, by hours, by minutes. You miss a plane. Your whole life is completely transformed by a few minutes. Who knows what would have been if we would have been able to return to the land even 1 year earlier? Who knows? Maybe it would have been a different world. There would not have been a Churban Bayis Sheni. It's very powerful what Rashi says, that you have to go into Golos the number of years corresponding to the number of years that you were in violation. Rashi makes a calculation. This is his calculation. Other Rishonim have different calculations. But Rashi here is clear as day that they only violated 69 years of Shemitah, which demands that we go into Golis for 69 years, not a moment more. Hashem does not play games. Hashem is precise. So why then did Hashem round up the number? This is a Rashi. You cannot forget. It's a critical Rashi. And the words are, those last words of Rashi are, Nechshava is calculated afhi b'minyan she ba'avoinam loy nigmar, because their sin she ba'avoinam, now that I'm looking, I'm not even sure I understand what these words mean. She ba'avoinam, their sin loy nigmar, was incomplete. In their sin, lo nigmar. It appears, I'm assuming it means that they intended to sin more. There was a lack, an absence of teshuva. We're not finished yet. We want to sin more. We have more to do, Hashem. Our attitude was not correct. Oh, you have an attitude problem. Attitude counts enough to round up the number to a nice round number of 70. That's a chiddush, tremendous chiddush. We have to go look at the other mefarshim. Other mefarshim, they certainly have a different. I remember the Tisha B'Av material. There are many rishonim that discuss this concept of lefi melois lebavel shiv shana, os hirtzos eshap soiseha, the different calculations. Rabbi Maievsky, he mentioned an extremely important point, that this calculation of Rashi is all built on the premise that in a 50-year Shemitah cycle, there are 8 years of Shemitah. How do you get 8 years? 7 times 7 is 49, and then comes year 50, which is Yovel. And then we start all over again, year 1. The Rambam and other Rishonim disagree. They hold there's no such thing as year 50. There's year 49. Year 49 is Yovel. Or I shouldn't say that, it's a machlokes. Year 49 is Shemitah. Year 1 is Yovel. So that means after Yovel, you are now in year 2. And then is year 3. So then you have to deduct, we're missing 8 years. In 400 years, we don't have 64. We have only 56. Add another 5. That takes us to 61. We are missing 9 yovlois, not just 1 yovel. So that has to be recalculated according to the Ramban. So obviously these calculations are very complex, they're very different. Rashi over here is really very straightforward. I apologize for making it so complex. Okay, we'll stop now, take a short break, and then we're going to learn a little bit about Sfira Sa'omer, and then at the end I want to talk about Beris Mila. This week's parsha, we touch upon Uvayoyim Hashmini Yimol Besar Arlosa. I'll see you back in 2 minutes.